You're listening to EPN, the e-podcast network.
This is Enterprise Radio and your host, Eric Dye.
This is Eric Dye, and once again, welcome to Enterprise Radio, your EPN channel for exclusive interviews with entrepreneurs, small business owners, and some of the world's top executives who are having great success. This is where they share their latest creations, products, services, experiences, as well as business strategies and insights that can all help you build your business, leading to your business success. Today, we have the privilege of having Michael Frizzell, founder and CEO of Pet Circle, Australia's largest online pet supplies company, established in 2011 and headquartered in Alexandria in Sydney. Pet Circle has quickly become Australia's largest online pet supplies company, servicing over 50,000 customers across the country and employing over 25 team members. Mr. Frizzell, welcome to Enterprise Radio and good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. So the pet industry is a niche market. What strategies have you implemented to hone in on such a niche audience?
Sure. It's a good question. When we first launched the business, we took a lot of time to really step back and try and understand who our customers were and how they thought, and probably more important from a marketing point of view, where we could access them. So in our early days, you know, where marketing budgets were very low and we needed highly efficient marketing, knowing our customers and knowing where they would be was a key focus for us. So that meant looking at marketing channels that were very, very focused. So we would go to pet shows, obviously a highly qualified audience, speak to our customers, spend the time to understand what they did and where we could find them, and then slowly expanded our marketing base to somewhat less niche kind of channels, but looking at things like highly focused search engine marketing, highly focused digital or Facebook or social media marketing, really using what we knew about the customers to make sure we were communicating to the right people. That was kind of early days, and it was highly effective. That's where we probably had our highest ROI in terms of marketing efficiency. As we've scaled over the last few years, we've kind of exhausted a few of those very focused channels and have had to expand to outside those, you know, those focused channels. And we're now running marketing across TV, print, some outdoor markets. But that same understanding of our customers is at core of the channels we pick. And when we're looking at our media buying, also the locations or the timing to make sure that we're actually communicating with the right audience for our business.
Well done. And we've read that Australians spend more on their pets than any other country, and that is surprising from my angle here. How do you use this kind of data to market to potential customers?
Yeah, Australians do spend a lot on their animals, actually. I think, as you say, globally, it's one of the highest spend per person per year. And that data was a key part of the reason why we actually launched this business, was looking at the Australian marketplace and looking at all our different retail kind of verticals we could have gone into. I think the average dog owner in Australia spends around $1,200 a year on their animal, and getting a share of that kind of that spend was the focus of the business. And now that we're in the market, that really high spend gives us a lot of opportunities that don't exist either in other markets or in other verticals. So let me explain a bit more. Our customers spending $1,200 or so a year in the Australian market mean that when we get a customer, particularly say a dog customer, and we sell them dog food, the lifetime spend of that customer through a business like ours is very, very high. Once we have a very high lifetime spend or lifetime value from a customer, what that means for us is our willingness to pay for that customer is also very high. So if you combine those two things, a very high lifetime value and our willingness to pay a reasonable amount for them, what you end up with is an opportunity, particularly in your marketing area, to use channels that are not available to a lot of other, you know, in our case, a lot of other retailers. So it's somewhat unusual. So we're an online pet business, and because Australian consumers spend so much on their animals, we have digital marketing, and you'll see that, you know, our peers in America also use digital marketing, but we have a nationwide TV campaign running. We use, you know, relatively widespread print campaigns, and we use outdoor. If you compare our marketing mix to somewhere like the US, you'll see that our marketing mix is much, much broader. And the key driver behind that is effectively that spend. And they're very high spending customers, and therefore we are able to go after channels in our marketing mix that just other countries or other verticals aren't able to do.
And that certainly makes sense as well. Now, how do you make the most out of your marketing spend?
Yeah, this is an ongoing question we have. We kind of have a core ethos here. It's really around we test channels, we find ones that look opportunistic, they look like the results are pretty close. We spend a fair amount of time once we get a result from a channel testing and optimizing to see if that channel is going to meet our investment criteria, and then assuming it does, we scale. And finally, we continue to scale that channel till such time as its effectiveness, its ROI, diminish. So, so I suppose as a summary, what we do is we look for where our customers are as a core, find a way to access them, and that might be digital, it might be print, it could be TV. We then measure how many customers come from that channel, and so we actually spend a lot of time tracking every customer that comes to our business gets allocated to an acquisition channel. We know where they came from. There's a little bit of it's not always certain, but we do our best job of allocating customers to channel, and then we track for all of those customers and all those channels how good those customers are. So I have access to, in our marketing area, data which tells me from this channel or this activity in my marketing space how many customers we got, how much each cost me, how much those customers have spent after 1 month, 2 months, 3 months. I can see things like payback period by channel, payback period by activity or campaign. And by having access to all that data on kind of a activity level, we can make good decisions over which channels are the most effective for us and which ones we should be investing more in. And where we see a good result, where we see our CPA or cost per customer acquisition at a fraction of what we get out of a lifetime value, then we'll scale that channel. We'll put as much capital as we can into it until such time as we see returns for the channel diminishing. And for our experience, and it might be different in other markets, but our experience to date has been all of the channels we've used, you scale them to a point and they become somewhat less efficient once you tap them out. So we have that kind of core ethos of testing, finding, optimizing, and scaling running in the background, and we always test one or two channels. All the time we have one or two channels that we're testing to see if they'll meet our investment criteria.
Certainly appreciate your getting into depth on that. In that regard, today we're joined by Michael Frizzell, founder and CEO of Pet Circle, Australia's largest online pet supplies company. We're on Enterprise Radio, a part of the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. You can also follow the show on Twitter at ePodcast Network. Now, Mr. Frizzell, what marketing breakthroughs have you had since launching Pet Circle?
Thinking back over the last few years on what really changed the effectiveness of our marketing or changed the our growth rate, one of the biggest breakthroughs, I suppose, was really finding what drove or getting a good understanding of what drove a customer's lifetime value. So let me go into a bit of context there. We have customers that are hugely valuable, have great lifetime spends and stay with us for 5 years and buy across all of our categories, and we have other customers that buy once and then disappear. We spent a lot of time, and I'm talking 12, 18, 24 months, trying to figure out if there was a way to predict based on the activity or the action of that customer in their first interaction with us. Could we predict from that first interaction how likely they are to be a good customer? And we had hypothesis-led testing, so we thought, is it the channel that they came from? Does someone from SEM have a different value to someone from a print campaign? Is it the location? Is it their demographic? Is it the animal they own? So we spent a lot of time trying to figure out what the attribute of a customer is, the single factor that would most accurately predict their lifetime value. As I say, it took us the best part of 18 months to try to get a good handle on this. But once we did, it allowed us to really focus our marketing. So we could see the channels where we were getting more of the good customers, and we would scale up those channels, and we could see the channels where we were getting less of the good customers, and we could scale those back. So it's a good example. When someone comes to our website, depending on what they do in that first session and how they behave, maybe they come to our website, they spend 3 minutes on site, they go to our dog treats category, they buy a $12 dog treat, and they jump to the dog toy category, and they buy something for $6 or $7. I can tell from that shopping behavior the likelihood of them being a very good long-term customer for us. And I can tell you that customer from that activity will be quite a low-value customer. Someone that comes to our site, again, in the dog example, shops the same two categories, but in addition, add some food to their order, will have a materially different expectation of lifetime value. So spending that time to really try to understand what the attributes of customers are that predict their lifetime value means that your marketing spend can be significantly more effective. And once we had that knowledge, just as an example of its impact, we modified our Google advertising, our SEM spend, and saw we cut about half of the spend out of the channel and saw zero drop in lifetime value, average lifetime value or lost sales. So once you really understand who you're going after and who the good customers are, you can really make your marketing much more effective.
Lastly, what are top three lessons you've learned in online marketing, maybe something that other business owners in niche industries could learn from?
Sure. I think the first one, particularly if you're getting into it, is the digital channels can be highly effective. So they allow you to target very small sectors of the population, and therefore, if you know who your customers are, using some digital channels, so that the usual SEM, maybe retargeting, or the Facebook or social platforms can give you a great ROI. But at some point in our experiences, those channels do tap out, particularly if you're pushing pretty hard on expansion. And the next surprise to me, I suppose, is don't ignore traditional marketing channels. So as I've mentioned, we run TV, print, outdoor. And I think for a couple of reasons, those channels are working quite well. The cost of those channels and the competition for TV space, certainly in our market, is much less than the competition for Google Ads. Every competitor in my space can afford to happily throw a couple hundred dollars a day at Google Ads, so it's a highly competitive offering. There's very few who are running TV, outdoor, or print advertising. So for us, we find those traditional marketing channels are actually less competitive and actually highly effective. The last one is probably less about marketing, but it's more about how marketing plays a role in your overall business. So what I would say is just don't ignore what's on your site. So our lesson has been probably the single most important factor in determining how effective marketing is not the channel, it's not the creative, it's not the execution or it's the timing, but it's what's on the site when that traffic lands. So for us in a retail environment, merchandising, homepage, there's lots of variables we can play with, but making sure that the site that they land on and the value proposition when they land is probably the biggest driver for us of how effective our marketing is. So that's certainly, it's not a one-sided equation. You've got to drive traffic through marketing, but if your site or where you're driving it isn't up to scratch, or it's not putting forward a great value proposition, you are going to have trouble with marketing effectiveness.
Well, Mr. Frizzell, we certainly thank you for these helpful tips on marketing and finding our target market, whatever your industry is. Certainly appreciate that. Tell our listeners where they can get more information about Pet Circle online.
Sure, just jump on our website, which is www.petcircle.com.au, and you should be able to find out a bit more.
And once again, Mr. Frizzell, thanks for taking the time to be with us here today on Enterprise Radio. Certainly wish you all the best and have a great day.
Thank you. Good to speak to you.
We've been speaking with Mr. Michael Frizzell, founder and CEO of Pet Circle, Australia's largest online pet supplies company. And once again, for more information, simply visit petcircle.com.au. And this is Eric Dye, and you've been listening to Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. Pick up our iPhone or Android mobile app for your mobile listening convenience. And once again, we do thank you for tuning in.
Thanks for listening to Enterprise Radio here on EPN. For more information or to subscribe to this podcast, visit epodcastnetwork.com.
This is the ePodcast Network.